This podcast is a Majestic Giraffe production. For more information and more content, visit majesticgiraffe.com.
But I was going into Toshi Station to pick up some power converters.
Droids are clean, the vaporizers are patched, and the speeders fuel. It's time to pick up some blue milk and power converters. You're listening to Toshi Station Radio, brought to you by the Majestic Giraffe Network. Now here are your hosts for the Snarkiest Podcast in Star Wars and Geek Culture, Brian and Nancy.
From the outskirts of Anchorhead and on the shores of the Great Chott Flats, you're listening to Toshi Station Radio, the bright center in the universe for all things Star Wars and geek culture. I'm your host, Brian, and with me, as always, is my co-host and fiancé, Nancy.
Hi.
On today's episode, we are catching up on the news we missed while we weren't podcasting, so sit back, grab some power converters, and enjoy the show. And again, apologies for missing the last couple of weeks. We were doing our Christmas and New Year's vacation stuff, and then we went on a cruise for good measure.
Again.
But before we move too much further, a note from our sponsors. Toshi Station Radio is brought to you in part by Audible.com. Listeners to this podcast can get a free audiobook by signing up for a free trial. Click the link on Toshi-Station.net for more details.
And we're also brought to you in part by Her Universe. Flaunt your world with Star Wars, Star Trek, Battlestar Galactica, Doctor Who, and other fandom-inspired wardrobe and jewelry. Click the link on our blog to purchase awesome geek gear and keep the lights running on the podcast. And I think Ashley has some cool Valentine's stuff coming up, so keep an eye out on Her Universe.
Gentlemen, if you're listening, take note.
Or ladies.
Or ladies.
Ladies can buy themselves things, or their girlfriends things.
Absolutely.
So we're equal opportunity Her Universe buyers at Toshi Station.
So if you've got a Her Universe fan in your life that needs something for Valentine's Day.
Or just any day. We bought your sister her very first Her Universe.
Yes, we did buy my sister her very first Her Universe item. What did we get her? We got her the red
Japan shirt that I'm wearing right now.
Yes, the one that you're wearing right now. I think that might be your favorite Her Universe item.
It's between this and the hoodie. The manga hoodie.
That is a great.
That I almost
Which you're also wearing.
I am.
Right now.
Well, actually, it's funny because I have two of both of those. And these are the first ones I got, and they've now become my pajama clothes. And then I bought new versions so I could wear them out again. So.
That's the beauty of podcasting from home. You can podcast in your PJs.
Yep, which is why we will never have a video show.
No, there will never be a video element to this podcast because we podcast in our PJs.
Yep.
Okay, so Nancy, what's new on the blog since it's been a little while since we've gotten together?
Yep, well, we posted our holiday special. Yeah, it was fun. Kind of, except for the whole watching the holiday special
part. How is it that you can set the bar so low and it's still not low enough?
It's really bad, guys. Don't watch the holiday special.
It's
awful. Don't save yourselves. It's not even a good drinking game type thing.
No, I mean, and you think you're prepared for how bad it is. No, you're not.
Because it's not, it's just a variety show. There's really no
sort of plot. It's not even a good variety show, and I like variety shows.
It's kind of like, you know, Chewie's trying to get home for Life Day, and that's the plot. And it's really stupid. So yeah, don't watch the holiday special, but you should listen to our holiday special, which is us watching the holiday special. And just going, why, God,
do you know
why?
What was far more entertaining than the holiday special? It was the commercials.
The commercials, yes, from 1978.
The 1978 commercials that were fantastic.
Yes. We also rounded out 2013 with a year in review / highlights links grab up.
One last chance for us to shamelessly promote the stuff we'd done in 2013.
Yep. So I'm just trying to open up this article and see what are some of my favorite things that we did. I think one of the things I liked best from this past year was the first thing on the list, which is the myth busting about George Lucas ordering Anakin Solo's death
But like moon landing denialists.
Yeah.
So many people didn't believe us.
They still don't. They still, everyone still thinks that's the reason why. And I don't know what to say to them, except it's not true. But alas, one day people will believe us. And of course, Bria had her Warrior Express journey wrap up. We talked a lot about diversity. Had our women and minorities in Star Wars panel.
And of course, people still don't believe us that we need more women and minorities in Star Wars.
No.
That was a great panel, though.
It was.
At Dragon Con. We had all sorts of great people on it. I think it was my favorite panel that I was on last year.
Yep. And as for interviews, we interviewed Jason Fry and John Jackson Miller. And both of those were very fun.
Hopefully. And speaking of interviews, we are working on lining up a couple more. We're hoping to get Ashley Eckstein back on. She's had a really busy schedule, but once things settle down, we'll be getting with her media person to get that squared away. And we're also working on a couple things that we don't have completely locked down yet, but once we do, we'll let you all know.
Yeah.
We had some book reviews, which is a thing we do, apparently.
I liked your article about the sequel trilogy not being real Star Wars.
The best part about that was watching it fly over the heads of everyone. And then once it was pointed out that it was satire, they got all defensive and angry.
Yeah.
Clearly it wasn't good satire if I didn't get it. Oh no, that means it was great satire.
I think the most relevant article, though, of all of them from last year is your article about Star Wars following the Marvel multiverse.
Right. Talk about prescient.
We will discuss that later on. But yeah, we had our little wrap-up, so go check that out. Speaking of Bria, she ended her Waru Express and started the Hondo Caravan, which is where she's going through and watching Clone Wars for the first time.
So no spoilers to Bria.
She's watching them in air order. So she not chronological order, but the order in which they aired.
So the same way all of us experienced it.
And she had four blog posts since the last time we podcasted. Welcome to Mandalore? ? No one saw that coming. The Clone Wars Greatest Hits album and Zero's Last Hurrah. I think she is in season 3 right now, so keep up with that on the blog. Also on Twitter, hashtag Hondo Caravan. We had a new podcast launch last year, The Women of Odd Enthusiasms, with Emily and Bria as co-hosts. And they just put out episode 4, The Game is Afoot, all about Sherlock Holmes and Sherlock-related media. This time, Emily was joined by her brother, Stephen, as a guest host. So be sure to check that out.
Because Bria was a little swamped this month with work and costuming and things like that, but she should be back next month for an all-new installment of Women of Odd Enthusiasms.
Yep, and I believe they're doing a giveaway, so be sure to check that out.
They are, so yes, do be sure to check out the link we've got in the show notes of this podcast post to find out how to win something cool from Women of Odd Enthusiasms.
Yes, I read The Jupiter Pirates by Jason Fry and did a go-no-go. Spoilers, I said you should go read it, because it's really fun. More thoughts later. And speaking of Marvel and multiverse and Star Wars, Brian, you offered 6 thoughts on Marvel getting the Star Wars contract, and we will...
I was a lot less panic-stricken than other people.
Yes, we will also get into that later. And finally, this is not on our blog, but I wanted to give a shout-out to Club Jade's Top 50 Star Wars Fan Freakouts in GIF form. Or GIF form, if you will, because it's hilarious. Speaking of Marvel and Star Wars.
Okay, that's what's new on the blog, and now it is time for Fixer's Flash, the geeky things we've been up to, and unfortunately it's not a whole lot because we've been traveling so much.
Well, we did some things. There was a Star Wars marathon on Spike.
And you've always got to sit down for a holiday Star Wars marathon on Spike.
Yes. So we watched some of that.
We did watch the Blu-ray while assembling IKEA furniture.
Yes, we watched A New Hope and half of Empire Strikes Back while assembling our new table and chairs from IKEA.
And we didn't call off the wedding.
No. So apparently, if you need to assemble furniture, I recommend IKEA furniture. Or I recommend Star Wars while doing that. I read The Jupiter Pirates, like I said, and I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a lot of fun. It's a middle grade book, so if you've got kids who are that age, give it to them to read and read it yourself. I think it's great for all ages, and it's fun, short adventure story. The characters are really good. The world building is really interesting. Takes place several hundreds of years in the future, like 2900 or 2800, and which the Jovian Union, Jupiter and all of its moons and several other asteroids and colonies out in that part of the solar system have seceded from Earth and their colonies. So it's very similar to the political atmosphere around the American Revolution, and there's privateering and pirates. It's a lot of fun. You should go read it. And I also started reading Honor Among Thieves, which I am enjoying.
Oh, and speaking of the Jupiter Pirates, Jason Fry is giving away a copy of he's got a giveaway going on. I gotta look up the details.
I think it's the Essential Guide to Warfare.
What are the details on that?
I don't know. I just know he's giving it away if you buy
yes, buy a copy of the Jupiter Pirates, and you can win a copy of the Essential Guide to Warfare.
Yep, I think that's pretty cool.
So yeah, go support a good book, and perhaps win a great reference book here.
Yes.
And in Disney related stuff, we both saw Saving Mr. Banks and Frozen.
And we both liked both of them. I think Saving Mr. Banks was actually one of my favorite movies of the year. And I know a lot of people did not like it. I would really like to talk with someone who did not like the movie, because I just really don't understand the complaints about it. And I'm not talking about like complaints like, oh, I didn't like the script, or oh, it was schmaltzy, because yes, it was schmaltzy. But there's a lot of complaints about the portrayal of the character, specifically P.L. Travers, and the implications that it gives towards women and feminism. And I don't get it at all. I don't get it. So,
well, my problem with the criticisms of this film is that critics will blast the film for whitewashing certain history events, but out of the other side of their mouth, they blast the film for not whitewashing other things.
Yeah. Yeah, so.
So I liked the movie.
I liked it too.
I think that many of the criticisms aren't fair.
Yeah.
So go see it for yourself to decide.
Yeah, I agree. And Frozen, we actually saw on a Disney cruise, which was pretty fun. And I really enjoyed it.
I think it may be the most self-aware animated Disney film they've ever done.
Yeah.
They were very aware of their tropes and used that awareness to really mess with us.
Yeah.
But I'd recommend both films highly.
Yep. Agreed.
And with that, that's Fixer's Flash. We're going to move into the only other segment we have today, because we've been away for so long, we've missed a lot of news.
Yeah, so we figured instead of a separate KMA's Concerns segment, we would just discuss the news and give our thoughts, especially about the Marvel takeover.
Normally we'd take a one big news item and turn that into KMA's Concerns for the week.
But we've got a lot of them.
Yeah, we've got a lot of them. So we're just going to go through the news and just offer our thoughts on it. And we start with Simon Kinberg discussing Rebels on a video on the official site.
Yes. This was kind of like right at the end of the year before all the other news broke. But he said Rebels is going to be a quote-unquote wholly original tapestry that's going to feature different stories and different characters in the films. The goal is to be an entry point for a generation of new fans and a point of return for existing fans. So it kind of seems similar to the Clone Wars in that they're trying to reach a new, younger audience.
Which is something they probably should be doing with an animated show.
Yeah, and especially for the time period, because, you know, if they're moving forward in the timeline with the sequel trilogy, a lot of kids who are younger and have grown up with Clone Wars haven't really even seen the original trilogy. So it's a good way to get them caught up to speed and ready for the sequel trilogy when it comes out. I can't remember if it was this article, this video, or previous one where they said it was going to feature two female leads.
I think it was a previous video feature.
Yeah.
Which
I'm all for.
Absolutely.
Yes. As evidenced by Frozen, a movie can have two female leads and actually do well.
Okay, another great part about Frozen, it passed the Bechdel test in about 30 seconds.
Yeah, the first scene is these sisters talking to each other. And the whole theme of the movie is the sisters and their love for each other. And, you know, and there's guy characters. There's Olaf the snowman, who is my favorite.
Who likes warm hugs.
Hi, I'm Olaf, and I love warm hugs.
What were we talking about? Rebels. We were talking about Rebels.
No, we're talking about Olaf the snowman.
Olaf the snowman. I want Rebels to have Olaf the snowman.
Yes. And speaking of cartoons, we've got some Clone Wars news. Maybe? Apparently, Jedi News obtained and translated a German press release stating that next month the German channel Super RTL will be airing arcs of the remaining Clone Wars episodes on Saturdays beginning the 15th. So that's interesting.
So maybe slight spoilers here if you don't want to hear them. Skip ahead about 5 minutes. But let's talk about what these arcs supposedly are.
Yes, you should start while my page is loading.
Yeah, while your page is starting. one of the arcs is a Clovis arc, and there's a reason that's bonus content, because does anybody care about Clovis?
I don't know.
Someone might. I'm not particularly enamored with the character.
Yeah. Another arc is the sort of Order 66 arc.
Arc I'm very excited about.
Yeah, they showed clips of this at Star Wars Weekends, I think, or maybe...
I don't think it was Star Wars
Weekends. No, it was on StarWars.com. They showed clips of it. But it's really, really interesting and kind of the clones discovering Order 66 or the Order 66 happening beforehand, and it just seems really kind of a neat arc. I didn't see mentioned in here, but the episode, the clip that they did show on Star Wars Weekends was the one with Yoda and Anakin. So I'm wondering where that's gonna fit in, that clip from Star Wars Weekends with Yoda,
right, where Anakin springs Yoda.
yeah, because that seems like it could be fun and interesting. And something about the world of Bardotta, and there's Jar Jar Binks managing to convince Mace Windu that the matter is of grave importance, which I don't know why Jar Jar Binks and Mace Windu are in the same room, but
yeah, not sure how that's going to work, but it could at least have some comedic potential. I'm all for that.
Yes, and that's pretty much all they have so far. So,
I get the impression that we're going to be seeing the bonus content showing up sooner rather than later.
Yeah, hopefully.
So that means people can stop asking us about it.
Kind of like the Karen Travis thing.
Yeah, so when's Imperial Commando 2 coming out, huh?
Never.
And can I just say that it's time for us all to embrace that the season 5 finale is the series finale. The bonus content isn't going to replace that.
No, it's bonus content.
It's sort of an expanded universe of Clone Wars content, if you will.
Oh, now you're just trying to
Get some flame bait?
Yep. Yeah,
maybe.
There was episode 7 news, because there always is. There was a recently Kathleen Kennedy and George Lucas visited the new Lucasfilm building in Singapore, which is the Sandcrawler building and very cool looking. And among the touring, Kathleen Kennedy made a statement about the spinoff films and their relation to episode 7. She said, "George was so clear as to how that works. The canon that he created was the Star Wars saga. Right now, Episode 7 falls within that canon. The spin-off movies, or we may come up with some other way to call those films, they exist within that vast universe that he created," she says. "There is no attempt being made to carry characters from the standalone films in and out of the saga episodes. Consequently, from the creative standpoint, it's a roadmap that George made pretty clear." So, apparently, we're not going to have a spin-off movie showing the origins of characters in the episode 7.
I'm okay with that.
Me too. I am as well. Apparently there was a statement a while back the spin-off films were going to be origin stories, and of course that's why everyone came up with Boba Fett and Han Solo and all this stuff.
Meanwhile, expanded universe fans were all been there, done that.
Yeah, that's my problem with the spin-off films, is that We've had those stories before.
I'd rather see the spin-off films do something new.
Have a new character completely, new stories completely.
Yeah.
Kind of like maybe like a pilot or a Jedi or something like random. But yeah, I don't know.
I mean, this only has a little to do with our
can
utter
I make
Boba
a,
Fett fatigue.
Yeah, can I make a unpopular opinion statement that
that's why we have this podcast.
That I don't really care about the spinoff films at all. Unless they announce that one of them will be about Mara Jade, and then, or, you know, Wedge Antilles, then I'll be all for it. But
we've expanded universe readers, or anyone who's ever been to Wikipedia, are already well aware of origin stories.
Yeah, I'm like, I kind of feel like, you know, I read the EU because I like the EU and everything. And, you know, I do like stories with Luke, Han, and Leia, and that push the story forward and add to the movies. But I think some of my favorite stories are the ones that are kind of on their own, like the X-Wing series. And even like Kenobi is kind of its own little story. You know?
That's what I'd love to see in a spinoff film, is not origin stories. Even if the origin story is going to be different than the one we already have, we've already done the concept of origin story. Yeah.
The only one I would really like is Han at the Imperial Academy.
If they were to actually follow that one,
yeah,
I'd love to watch that.
Yeah, but I guess my part of my problem is I'm kind of like, why rehash stories that we already have?
I mean, not even specific stories, just rehash ideas.
Yeah, like, it would be like, I mean, I don't want the EU to go away completely with episode 7. I would like for them to use ideas from the EU, obviously ideas that I like, but I'm not expecting them to retell like the Yuuzhan Vong War, because that would be boring because I've already read that story. You know, it's not like Harry Potter or Lord of the Rings where they're adapting previous works. They're trying to tell a whole new story.
And this is why I'm okay with this never going to happen, but hypothetical situation where the films follow the EU canon up until Vision of the Future
yeah.
being the cutoff.
Yeah.
Because if you use Vision of the Future as a cutoff, you really don't have to tell the movie audience, oh, by the way, you've missed XYZ gigantic galaxy shattering conflicts.
Yeah. So, still don't know anything about the spinoff films, really.
Other than that they're happening.
Yeah, but of course, there are rumors. Latina Review, take that as you will, as in their credibility, has said that there's definitely going to be a Fett spinoff film, a Boba Fett spinoff film. They claim to know all by saying, "To counteract the prequels, the Boba Fett spinoff movie planned for 2018 has an interesting twist pitched by Episode 7 writer Lawrence Kasdan. The spinoff will start with a complete stranger killing Boba Fett and taking his armor, starting a Man With No Name bounty hunter tale. So, someone kills the Boba Fett from the prequels and takes his armor and name. One thing is for certain is that Kasdan didn't like the prequels and wants no Boba Fett clone in the spinoff film. There's a lot of misspelling in that, so.
Okay, first off, if Lawrence Kasdan was really that anti-prequel, I don't think he'd be working at Lucasfilm right now.
Yeah. There was a lot of things wrong with the prequels. That's really the least of people's,
or the at least Fett of origin.
I'm like, yeah, people were annoyed because it, you know, counteracted the EU. But I'm like, of all the things to complain about the prequels for, like, that's the least offensive.
I've got bigger socio issues I have with the prequels.
I like Jango Fett. I like Jango Fett a lot.
Absolutely, yeah.
Boba, eh. But, I mean, if you're... I don't know. I think they could actually be a lot interesting if they actually delved into Boba Fett's issues, like being a clone and, you know, his dad dying right in front of him and like how he's trying to live up to his dad's, you know, expectations when his dad's not there and him not really being his own person and created. Like, those are all interesting things, but of course they won't, you know, deal with that. Like, I don't see how some random dude killing Boba Fett and donning his honor armor makes it more interesting.
Okay, so as far as this Boba Fett spinoff film goes, I'm 100% willing to believe that a Fett spinoff film is in the works.
Yeah.
I mean...
Duh.
Yeah, duh. all of the other details that Latino Review is throwing in, that Lawrence Kasdan hated the prequels and stuff like that, that seems a little more editorializing on
that
part.
I mean, that's just duh. I mean, that's something easy to say. Oh, so-and-so didn't like the prequels, so they're going to make it all different. I'm like, I don't think...
Clickbait.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't think George would be okay with them going...
I don't think Kathleen Kennedy would bring Lawrence Kasdan back if it was that much.
Yeah. There is a rumor that I do think is pretty solid, and that's them saying that Joe Johnston is the top choice for director. Because he was the one when Captain America was coming out.
Yeah, if it's not a Fett film, they want Joe Johnston for something.
Yeah, when Captain America was coming out, he was saying that he would love to direct a Boba Fett film. So,
I mean, I think it'd be weird if Lucasfilm wasn't interested in getting Joe Johnston in to do something for Star Wars.
Yeah, in case you don't know who Joe Johnston is, he was... worked on the original Star Wars and then became a director and directed Jurassic Park 3, as well as Captain America.
Captain America, the best Indiana Jones movie since Last Crusade.
Yes.
So I'm willing to buy that rumor.
Yeah.
And moving on, the Hollywood Reporter's got something interesting. They claim to know the reason behind the Lucasfilm and Michael Arndt split. According to multiple insiders, the reason for the parting of ways was not due to a time frame issue, as had been reported, but rather due to a difference in opinion of which characters to emphasize.
I don't know how I feel. I don't know.
First, I don't know how much truth there is to this.
Right.
Second, if there is truth to it, I don't know how I feel about it.
Yeah, I think I really would have a problem with the whole emphasis on Luke, Han, and Leia. I think focusing on younger characters, like the next generation, is what they should be doing. Because that's kind of like the whole argument that EU fans have made.
That was my favorite tweet in this whole thing, was someone saying, so episode 7 wants to focus on Luke, Han, and Leia. It'll be exactly like the expanded universe since the Darkness trilogy.
Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah, so... Mm-hmm.
I'd rather they focus on younger characters. Although, I just don't know how much I buy this one.
Yeah, it's just weird. Like, and especially...
If the rumor says that the person that was pushing for this was J.J. Abrams.
Yeah.
I don't see Abrams pushing for that.
Yeah. This is the guy who recast everyone from Star Trek, which, I mean, could mean he wants to recast everyone of Luke, Han, and Leia, which I think would be the dumbest decision.
I'm pretty sure Kathy Kennedy would say no.
Yeah, no, you can't do that, J.J. You can't recast Luke, Han, and Leia.
No, you can't. Not unless it's a spinoff film of some sort set in a different time period, but you can't.
No, you can't. I've said that if they don't focus on Skywalker or Solo offspring, that there's kind of no reason to call it Episode 7.
No, it's not, because the episodic films are about the Skywalker and ostensibly the Solo
clan. Yeah, the Skywalker and the extended Skywalker and extended family,
basically,
you know, because you consider Obi-Wan part of that and everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I just don't see the point in making it be Episode 7 if it's about some random Jedi we've never heard
that
of.
That to me sounds like a spinoff
That's
film.
That's a spinoff film, and
I'd watch that.
Yeah.
I'd watch that as a spinoff film.
Right, but if, you know, George Lucas has said so long that, you know, Star Wars is the story of the Skywalkers, and it's the saga of Anakin Skywalker, you know, that emphasis came about during the prequels, where, you know, originally it was all about Luke and Luke redeeming his father, and then they expanded on that and it was more about Anakin. Okay, well now we're going to have 3 more films that are set with Luke. So the only way I could see it fitting in thematically is if it's carrying on that bloodline. Because I imagine the prequels with a random Jedi who's not a Skywalker in the lead, it's like, then why make the movies? That makes sense. So, and continuing the stories of Luke, Han, and Leia, I just see as being a major, major, major problem, like how we have with the expanded universe right now. You know, instead of continuing the story to where it, you know, had an actual endpoint.
Well,
and then
we really are going to have to do a podcast and a blog post about mistakes from the EU to avoid in the sequel trilogy. Here's one of them.
Yeah, that's the biggest one. Don't focus on the big 3 so much, because there's only so much you can do with them without rehashing everything. That's why people were annoyed with Crucible so much. It's like, all right, another big 3 story. Like, you know, New Jedi Order, pretty much everyone agrees that's where it should have ended. You know, New Jedi Order should have been all about ending their story, and
that should have been the retirement
having
story.
Jason and Jaina be the new heroes.
I mean, say what you will about New Jedi Order, it had its ups and downs, but it was a good, serviceable, functional retirement story.
Well, Unifying Force, nothing can ever beat that.
No.
As a retirement.
No.
Maybe Vision of the Future.
So essentially, what we got in Crucible, hey, we're whining about Crucible again, what we got with Crucible was trying to redo what was done better in the Unifying Force.
Yeah. And, you know, having Luke as a Jedi Master training either his kids or Han and Leia's kids, like, I don't see how anything else could make more sense, but I'm not the movie maker, so.
Yeah.
We'll
and
see.
Going back to this rumor, wow, we got a little off the beaten path there. Going back to this rumor, specifically, it's that Luke, Han, and Leia would be the stars of Episode 7, and the younger characters would be in a supporting role. I don't see this one from Abrams, because he's a self-professed Star Wars fan. He knows how these films are structured.
Yeah.
I would imagine he would want them to be more of the Obi-Wan role than the leading role.
And having, you know, the characters, you know, be like sort of a supporting role in the first movie, and then be the stars of the second two, which is what they said it was going to be. Doesn't really make sense to me, because the reason Star Wars, the original trilogy, works so well is because you've got the core of Luke, Han, and Leia across all three movies. And yeah, you add in more characters as the story goes on. You add in Yoda, the Emperor, Lando, you know, Wedge comes back, even though he's not like a huge character, but he...
But yeah, there's a core
to work Luke, with. Han, and Leia
that was true in the prequel trilogy as well. There was a core of Anakin,
Obi-Wan, Padme. And Padme. And, you know, at least there was other characters that kind of came in and were more important later on. And it, you know, you have to have a core of characters that you follow.
So waiting until episode 8 to focus on the core seems like a mistake. And it's one I don't see the creative staff doing.
I don't see
it. So I'm still willing to buy what Lucasfilm said at the beginning, that it was a time frame thing that caused the split between Arndt and Lucasfilm. And additionally, I'm also much more inclined to believe what Jedi News said a while back, that they're still using Arndt's script as the backbone for episode 7. They're just letting Kasdan and Abrams take passes at it now.
Yeah, which makes sense.
It's way too late in the process.
It's what they do.
Yeah, it's way too late in the process to completely scrap Arndt's script.
Yeah. It does kind of make me think, you know, they're really close to filming. If they are using Luke, Han, and Leia as much as this rumor says they are,
we would have.
Why haven't they announced casting?
Yeah, exactly. If they were using Luke, Han, and Leia that much, I'm pretty sure Carrie Fisher would have let it leak by now.
But this just goes to show that I'm having some sort of ennui, because I'm sick of all the rumors. I mean, we
are so close to filming. Just put the casting out
And I
there.
Know it's whining. I know, you know, we didn't know a lot of stuff about the prequels while they were making the prequels either. But it's just, you know, it's kind of like the whole future of Star Wars has been kind of stalled while we're waiting for news.
I guess I'm not too familiar with the filming process, but don't we normally hear about casting a lot further before filming than now?
I know that they announced the cast for episode 1 in June, and they started filming later that summer. So it was pretty soon. It was pretty. But it's something that we should be hearing soon, and I would like to know. But speaking of more rumors, one of the other things to come up is the rumor that Abrams and Lucasfilm are now searching for a 20-something female actress who is either of mixed race or black. The rumor is that Obi-Wan Kenobi had a daughter or granddaughter. Let me start by saying a person of color character. Good! Female person of color character. Even better.
A+.
Kenobi daughter or granddaughter.
And let's make one distinction very clear real quick. We're not saying this because the character, the casting call is supposedly a person of color.
No. I mean, Obi-Wan can hook up with whoever he wants.
That's not it. That's not the problem.
It's that I don't think Obi-Wan would hook up with anybody because he's Obi-Wan. And I don't see him as that way because, A, he's had romances in Star Wars canon that have all been kind of very G-rated romances, where I don't think anything was actually consummated, and he never left the Jedi Order or gave any inclinations of wanting to, because Obi-Wan is different from Anakin, and that's very important story-wise. And I've seen people who've said, well, you know, after the Jedi Order was destroyed, you know, you don't know what could have happened, and he might have decided he was wrong, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I can see Obi-Wan deciding that the Order was wrong as far as not allowing attachments. I cannot see Obi-Wan as a person going back on everything.
No, because he fully committed to...
Yeah.
He fully committed to living the life of a hermit watching over Luke.
Yeah. It would be kind of like if, you know, a monk, you know, if someone took, you know, an oath as a monk and said they were going to live in with you know, so, vow of poverty, yeah, exactly, or celibacy, and then all of a sudden someone says, oh, we're changing our rules. Okay, fine, so but you can't change your whole lifestyle.
So there are really two time frames you have to look at this to see if it's possible. The first would be while he was a member of the Jedi Order. I don't see it happening then. The second period is after the Jedi Order, where maybe he decides that the no attachments rule was bad. I don't see it happening then either, because he was fully committed to being the hermit watching over Luke.
Yes, and if you have not read Kenobi, you should. And that might be while what's tainting my view a little bit, coloring my view, because after that, I can't see Obi-Wan as wanting to do anything other than just watch over Luke.
And now, I will say, if there's Kenobi clan we never heard of, yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously,
but his direct offspring, I don't think he has any direct offspring.
He has to come from a family.
Yeah. But yeah, if this is a granddaughter of his family that wasn't in the order,
yeah,
I can see that. And cool.
Yeah, I just don't see him as having children or grandchildren. It's kind of like drama for drama's sake.
Yeah.
It's like the whole rumors that, like, you know, a kid of Luke's is going to come back in the EU and Ben's going to have a half sibling, which is so stupid. You know.
So, is this casting call for a direct this offspring of Obi-Wan? I doubt it. Will I buy that it's someone from the Kenobi clan we haven't heard about? Yeah, sure.
Or
maybe it's just a casting call for a 20-something female person of color, A+.
Who's a Jedi, maybe with the speaking role?
Things that, okay, that's one thing they need to improve on from the prequel
Jedi
trilogy.
Female Jedi with speaking roles? There should be one?
Yeah, there should be one.
There is none in the entire prequel trilogy, in entire three movies. There are none.
That is, yeah.
I'm not missing anything, right? Because there are female Jedi, but they don't talk.
I believe you're right. There is not a female Jedi who has a speaking line that I know of in the films. In the Clone Wars television series?
Yes. No, I'm wrong.
You're wrong.
Joe Casson knew.
Right. But still.
And that's it.
That's it?
Yeah.
And now again, I'm mad that Qui-Gon was a guy.
Yep, I'm going to write that blog post.
And out of rumors into a bit of news, Dark Horse is closing out the Darth Maul Clone Wars arc with a comic series. And to be abundantly clear, this is not the series finale of the Clone Wars. You already got the series finale. It was the final episode of season 5.
Yeah, people were really annoyed about this. I think it's kind of cool. Like, I'm like, oh, cool, get the story we weren't going to get. And people were like, oh my god, this is what they canceled Clone Wars for, blah, blah. I'm like, wait a minute, this is not the end of Clone Wars. This is just the stories that they didn't tell.
The Clone Wars already ended.
Shh, don't tell people that.
Season 5's last episode was the end.
Yeah. So, yeah, It's really weird.
Yeah, I'm happy about that. I wouldn't mind seeing them close out a couple more arcs, but they're probably not going to get the chance because of our last bit of news.
The
big one. I think we all knew this was coming from the instant it was announced Disney was buying Star Wars. Maybe some people thought it wouldn't happen because the relationship was so good.
Yeah.
But to borrow a business buzzword, there was just too much synergy there to ignore.
Oh, God, you're awful.
Marvel synergy has gotten the rights to the Star Wars IP and will be publishing Star Wars comics beginning in 2015.
Is anyone surprised by this?
I'm not, but I know there were people that were.
Yeah, I mean, when I saw the news, I was kind of like, oh, okay, so that finally happened. But there were a lot of people who were a lot madder.
Well, it is a bummer.
Yeah.
Dark Horse has been doing some great things with Star Wars comics. I mean, they've had some misses, but they've had a really good run with the IP.
Right. I'm kind of the wrong person to talk about this because we all know my feelings about comics. But, I mean, Dark Horse has done a lot over the years and has contributed a lot to the Star Wars canon. They've also contributed some things that I would like to forget about.
Dark Empire!
Did you have a tickle in your throat?
Just a little bit.
Okay. So, but, you know, it is kind of sad. You know, they've done a lot of good work, and a lot of people really enjoy Legacy and the
although there is some criticism to the whole Legacy concept as well.
Yeah.
Pushing the expanded universe out that far,
mm-hmm.
Kind of created this runaway freight train in over on the Del Rey side of things.
Yeah.
To meet that point. But, you know, it is rough because Dark Horse was doing some great things. They had some great stories. The current Legacy series was great. The current Brian Wood Star Wars series, not so great. But as long as there's been comics in this modern expanded universe landscape, it's been Dark Horse that's been doing it. And it stinks that people who treated the property so well are no longer going to be able to work on it.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got Marvel in-house as your sister company now. It seems like it's something you need to do, is to work with your sister company.
Right.
To make these comics.
And let's make a few things clear. You should not be judging the future of Star Wars comics by looking at the original Marvel run of Star Wars
comics. Because the original Marvel run was... It was pre-Miller.
Yeah.
It was a different comic landscape. A comic landscape that would have tolerated Jackson the Bunny.
Right.
If you're going to compare what Dark Horse and Marvel are capable of as comic shops, you need to compare stuff from the same era. So go take a look at the things Marvel's been working on for the last decade. Go take a look at some of their standalone comics like Captain Marvel, like Hawkeye. Go read Runaways. Go read some of the Marvel Now stuff. It's not the same Marvel that last had Star Wars.
Right.
So comparing what both companies have done with Star Wars is really disingenuous, because the last time Marvel had Star Wars, Return of the Jedi hadn't been released yet.
Mm-hmm.
So you gotta keep that in mind. I had some thoughts about all this, and I'm just gonna pull it up now because I wrote it a couple weeks ago and I can't quite remember what I wrote. Marvel's flying high right now from a creative standpoint, and something I'm really excited about is Marvel's penchant for pushing the boundaries on minorities, on women characters, on LGBTQ characters. They are a company and a comic house that is very in tune with diversity in their products, and it would be really cool to see them put that same emphasis into their Star Wars work.
Yeah.
But yeah, I totally understand that this is mixed feelings for everyone. I think that for those who are exceedingly angry about this, I'd encourage you to step back and take a look at Marvel's body of work over the last 10 years or so, and take a look at how Marvel is handling both a film franchise and a written franchise.
Yeah.
So there's reason to be encouraged there, because they're doing very good things, so keep an open mind. And I do believe that is it.
It is.
For Deke's Dirt, our longest Deke's Dirt ever.
Whoa! Okay.
That's a little bit short. It's a little bit short podcast this week, but we're going to be back in the coming weeks with more of the normal fare. We're working on some we're working on some columns for the blog that will be no doubt used to springboard the podcast. You've got something you're working on, Nancy. Let's preview this.
Yes, I want to write a post about why diversity for diversity's sake is not necessarily a bad thing. And look at the idea of gender swapping characters.
Just because.
The main one being the Lion King. When they were developing the Lion King stage show for Broadway, the director, Julie Taymor, realized that the movie Lion King did not have a lot of female characters. And she wanted to, you know, have more female characters, which is a good goal. So they developed the role of Nala and made her be more important to the overall plot. And they also made Rafiki a female, which, you know.
And now I can't watch the animated Lion King without wishing that Rafiki
was female.
Because
that's one of the best characters in the play. The actress who originated the role was amazing. And, you know, that version of Circle of Life is just fantastic. And if you haven't watched a YouTube video or listened to it, the song, you should, because it's great. And, you know, people might get annoyed and saying, oh, you know, they're just trying to be PC and all that. But I really think that that character as female makes the story better. And I've never really sat and analyzed why. I just like it better the way it is.
A lot of the times when we talk about our many conversations and posts pleading for more diversity in Star Wars, one of the constant criticisms of those discussions is you shouldn't have diversity for the sake of diversity.
Yeah.
And I can kind of see where they're coming from that. If you have a minority character in without writing that minority with any sort of seriousness, that's not good.
Yeah.
But diversity for the sake of diversity is asking for writers to examine, does this character have to be X?
Right.
That's what we mean by diversity for the sake of diversity, is analyzing, can you change your predefined biases and images of a character.
Yep. And one of the things that I'm going to be talking about is the idea of Qui-Gon Jinn being female.
And
how I really wish that's how the prequels had
now
been.
Stay tuned for this post, because both you and I have talked about this one extensively.
Yep.
And I am fully convinced that Phantom Menace would have been better if Qui-Gon Jinn had been a woman.
I am too.
So, yes, that's something you can expect from us. We're kicking off the new year. News has been light, so we're going to try and supplement it with other things. But we're back, getting back into a normal routine again, and looking forward to another great fandom year with you all listeners.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, we're going to wrap things up. Tosche Station Radio has been brought to you in part by Audible.com and Her Universe. Check out the links on the blog to keep the lights on and to keep our web hosting bills paid. You can find us on Twitter with the handles at Tosh_Station. That's the official show account. You can find Nancy with at Nancy Pants. That's Nancy with an I. You can find me with at Lane Winry, LaneWinree. On Facebook, we are the Tosh Station Network. You can find us on the iTunes Store. If you like what you hear, please do leave a review. It helps us grow the show. You can find our columns at news at Tosh-Station.net. Thanks for listening to another episode, and we will catch you all next time.
Bye!
This podcast has been brought to you by Majestic Giraffe Productions and is the official podcast of ToshiStation.net. All Star Wars names, music, and logos are property of their respective trademark and copyright holders. Tosche Station Radio is not endorsed by Lucasfilm or any division of the company. Now go pick up some power converters.